This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray, pray, pray. All right, we'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy coming up. We are now, believe it or not, already on the fifth day of this novena to the Divine Mercy. If you have not started, I always believe it's never too late, right? You can still join in. Lord is totally understanding. And if you're not familiar with this, the Lord had reached out to St. Faustina, and he had asked her to go ahead and to pray a novena of chaplets. And a novena of chaplets is, well, novena is typically 9 days of prayer in preparation for, let's say, a celebration of a feast day, right? We do it before the feast of St. Joseph, the Solemnity, or the Immaculate Conception, or the great feast of Divine Mercy. The Lord wanted this to begin on Good Friday, so we began, and he said to Faustina, on each of the 9 days, bring to me a different intention. And St. Faustina wasn't really sure what intentions to bring, so the Lord actually gave her the intentions. And what I love about this novena, it's so cool. As far as I know, it is the only novena specifically laid out by Jesus himself, telling her who to pray for and when. And he said to her, he says, I desire that during these 9 days you bring souls to the fountain of my mercy, that they may draw therefore strength and refreshment and whatever grace they need in the hardship of life, and especially the hour of death. So this is a novena for you, and it's a novena for your loved ones. And today, as I said, we will stay the fifth day of the novena. So let me lift up that intention. And before I do, let me welcome to the studio Preston. He's in house with us here, and it's always good to pray with him. Preston, anything you want to pray for before we begin?
I'll just continue to pray for my wife and her pregnancy, and just all those that are pregnant. It's one of those things that's important.
No, you're not kidding. There's always a little bit of trepidation. You just pray that God will give you a healthy, beautiful child. So, and for a safe delivery, we'll certainly pray for your wonderful wife. I had an email today. Leslie, thank you for writing to me. She says, could you please pray the chaplet for the repose of the soul of Bishop Alfred Maluma? He's from Tanzania. He was in a car accident, and he passed away today from his injuries. His priest served in the Joliet Diocese, and he studied at Benedictine University the last few years. He's asking for prayers for the bishop. He was a holy bishop who helped spread the glory of God and the gospel in Africa. God bless his holy servant. Leslie, I'd be glad to. I've been to Tanzania, stunning country, and to have a bishop like this be called home unexpectedly, it always makes me, as I often say, we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know if today is the day that God's going to call us home. I'm sure the bishop didn't expect that either. So we'll pray for the repose of his soul. Let's today bring to the Lord the souls that he requested. And today is the fifth day, and today he says, bring to me the souls of those who separated themselves from my church and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. During my bitter passion, they tore at my body and heart, that is my church, as they return to unity with the church, my wounds heal, and in this way they alleviate my passion. Most merciful Jesus, goodness itself, you do not refuse light to those who seek it of you. Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who separated themselves from your church, and draw them by your light into the unity of the church, and do not let them escape from the abode of your most compassionate heart, but bring it about that they too may come to glorify the generosity of your mercy. Eternal Father, please turn your merciful gaze upon souls who have separated themselves from your Son's church, who've squandered your blessings and misused your graces, obstinately persisting in their errors. Do not look upon their errors, but upon the love of your own Son and his bitter passion, which he underwent for their sake, since they too are enclosed in his most compassionate heart. Bring it about that they may also glorify your great mercy for endless ages. Amen. Amen, amen. So I want to pray for souls who've separated them from the church. Yesterday, of course, if you recall, the Lord had asked us for a similar intention for those who do not believe in God, for those who do not yet know me. We pray for conversion. We'll pray for return to our merciful Savior. And I want to pray for you and for all of your intentions. I receive a lot of email. I know a lot of people are on hold right now. A lot of our spiritual brothers and sisters are praying with us around the country and around the world. And together, let's just petition the Lord. I know He hears these prayers. I know great things happen. I know miracles are waiting for all of us. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trusted you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call. Cindy is listening in Auburn, California. Cindy, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Hey, I was just going to ask a prayer today for, I have a nephew who had a workplace injury today. He fell from a trailer, hit his head, and he's got some superficial injuries that are going to be very painful to recover, and we're just praying that he also, you know, doesn't have any internal injuries. We don't know yet, so I wanted to offer that and then add to the intention of conversion. I have two children away from the church that I pray the chaplet with you every day with that intention, and I love you guys. Thank you.
Cindy, we love you, and guess what? Those prayers are going to be heard by God. You just keep praying, keep trusting, keep using this chaplet, and those children of yours, those seeds will be planted. You know, it's tough. As parents, you know, we all pray for our children, and the culture is just so powerful, and sometimes we don't see the fruit of our prayer, but I know God's at work. You know, the prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. It really is, and gosh, we need to pray, and I know God will hear this. I know that God hears the prayer for conversion. And today, in a particular way, during this novena, He says, hey, bring these souls to me. You know, I know the Lord on this day in a special way, really, is sending grace. So, Lord, I thank you for answering these prayers. We pray for the grace of patience and fortitude, that we may be persistent in our faith, that our trust may be unwavering, and that we may see the fruit of our prayer. I pray for the conversion of her children. I pray for the conversion of my children, of all those who are praying, that we may all come to a deeper love of you. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tom is listening in Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Howard, good to talk to you again after after a long time. Thank you so much for Relevant Radio.
Hey.
I received this. Yes. I received some word from my sister today that her daughter, who is my niece, of course, her name is Kim, has been hospitalized. She's very ill. She's just a young mother. There's some type of virus attacking her heart. She's been tested for COVID. It's negative, but there's some type of strange virus that's attacking her heart, filling her up with fluid. She's barely in her 40s. I don't know that she's ever had any health problems before, but when my sister asked for prayers, I immediately thought of you and Relevant Radio and the chaplet, and I sent her the website, so I hope she's listening and praying along with us.
Yeah, well, Tom, it's really good to hear your voice. It's been too long. You and I have got to catch up,
yes.
But I'm delighted that you called, and her name's Kim, so we'll pray for her.
Her name is Kim, yeah, the young mother.
All right, well, let's lift her up. We'll pray for your niece, and we'll just ask that God will enlighten the physicians who are taking care of her and that they'll find the right approach and treatment. But even beyond that, Lord, I just pray today for miracles. I do. I pray for divine touch. I pray for healing. And I ask for many miracles to take place. For those who are not going to be able to get through on the phone line today, who are opening their heart to you and saying, Heavenly Father, I need that miracle. I pray for Tom and his family, his beautiful wife, his niece, for all those who he voiced. But I give to you the sick, the infirm, those waiting on test results, those who are battling ailments, those who have degenerative diseases, or those who have ailments that doctors cannot seem to identify. So I give you the body, and I just ask for miracles, for healing, as we turn to you again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Gloria is listening in Glendale, California. Hi, Gloria. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you, Drew, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
We just got word that my nephew's wife got positive results for the virus. And they've got four young children, and we could sure use your prayers right now. And they are devoted to praying the divine mercy. We were in the middle of the novena yesterday. They pray it every day, and that's why we're just very, very upset. They're a very, very devoted Catholic family.
Well, look, Mary, Gloria, look, be at peace, okay? We're going to pray right now, and... You know, it rains
Thank
on the
you.
Good and the bad. It rains on the prayerful and the unprayerful. And
one more thing, Drew.
Sure.
My brother-in-law, too, he was just got out of the hospital with his heart, and now they said they don't know what's wrong because he's hemorrhaging again. And
All
so
right.
there's that, too. Oh,
All
I
right.
appreciate everybody's prayers. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. And we're a big family here. We're all praying together. Look, suffering. It's all part of life. We all suffer. I suffer. You know, we all go through hardships. We all go through difficult times. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she once said that pain and suffering, if they've come into your life, just remember that these are just the pain, the sorrow, the suffering. It's just but a kiss of Jesus. They are a sign that you've come close to him, that he can kiss you. That was Mother Teresa. You know, St. Rose of Lima said, without the burden of afflictions, it's impossible to reach the height of grace. So if you're going through a difficult time, know the Lord's there with you. You know, that this is an opportunity to grow in grace. It's an opportunity to exercise your faith and your trust. Our grace increases sometimes in times of struggle. And don't despair. Don't grow despondent, but put your trust in the Lord and know that this is a grace-filled opportunity for you. Lord, I pray for miracles. Again, I come to you today during this great novena that we're praying. And I just ask you answer all the prayers that are being voiced. And I turn to your great mercy. And I turn to you again with faith As I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, an atonement
for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Aralia is listening in Chicago. Hey, thanks for praying with us, Aralia. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Good afternoon. I would like to ask for prayers for my friend's young brother who is in a coma, and the doctors give little hope of survival, for a miracle and complete recovery and strength for her family.
All right, big day of prayers asking for the divine and healing touch. So let's do that right now. We will pray for your friend, your family friend in this coma. And I turn to St. Faustina and I ask her intercession. You know, Faustina wrote in her diary once that a humble soul doesn't trust itself, but it places all of its confidence in God. And that's what we want to do right now. Lord, I place all of my confidence, all of my trust in you. Please hear these prayers. Again, I pray for many, many answered prayers, whether it comes to health or finance or to relationship, whatever it may be. Lord, I give you all of my brothers and sisters united with me now in prayer. And we invoke your great mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Francis is listening in San Francisco, and I'll see if I can get another call in here, too. Good afternoon, Francis. Thanks for listening in San Fran.
Yes, hi, Drew. Good to talk to you again. Let's get some of that Easter triumph, Easter joy for a mother here named Christine, who lost her daughter 4 years ago last month, but now has three children, all autistic boys at home.
Oh my gosh.
A bone-shattering disease and just got diagnosed last month with a triple-negative breast cancer. This woman suffers like the most beautiful soul you can imagine. I'm sitting here holding a rosary bead blessed by Father Serafim Mikalenko.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just begging him and you and everybody out there to help not only all our brothers and sisters who we just heard from, but for Christine and her husband who are beyond their wit's end.
Yeah, you know, it seems unfair, doesn't it, when one person or family has to suffer so greatly. I don't always understand it, but I'm glad you interceded, Francis. And I believe Father Serafim, I mean, I know the man personally. He lived a life of heroic virtue, and we have divine mercy because of him. I know that that he's interceding in a powerful way. So call upon his intercession. You know, I believe one day his calls will be open. So, but I want to pray for you right now, and I want to pray for this family that's really in a difficult time. And Haley in Nashville, give me a call back tomorrow. She's praying for her brother who's in prison. And I want to pray for those who are incarcerated, for family members who've got loved ones that are struggling, and for everyone right now on hold, everyone united to me. Heavenly Father, I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, I throw myself before the cross of your Son, and I just ask that you hear the prayers of all who are crying out to you now. Shower us in your mercy. Allow great miracles and great answers to prayer to take place. And call upon all the saints to intercede as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call. That's it. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Michalenko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Preston, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for praying with me. Send me your intentions. I want to pray for you. Please join me every day. Join Father Rocky and I this Sunday. We'll be praying the chaplet live at 3 Central on the Great Feast of Divine Mercy. I hope you'll join us for an hour of prayer. And hopefully just extraordinary grace. And don't forget, this is your last few days to get my book. If you haven't signed up yet, please do it. It's free. We'll send it to you at absolutely no cost, no strings attached, no shipping, no handling. It is a book on divine mercy, and it will open up not just the power of the chaplet and the feast of mercy and the image and Faustina's experiences with the afterlife and the power of prayer and coming to understand how important trust is or God's mercy, all that and more. In this book, and it's yours absolutely free. I really want you to have it, so please do not miss this opportunity. You have to get it today. As I said, only a couple days left, and then you won't have an opportunity again. It's relevantradio.com. Go there now, relevantradio.com, or use your mobile app. Okay, you'll be glad you did. And when you get it, share it with somebody else and say a prayer for me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Trying to stay up on the headlines? The Drew Mariani Show is here for you.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Again, thank you so much for praying with me. And we need to pray for our country. I want to fill you in on something that's going on here. Love to get your perspective. Again, don't forget the book. Last opportunity this week. I don't know if they're going to do another print run on it, but relevantradio.com, best place to get it. It's free. Have your loved ones do it. I heard about a Catholic school that made the announcement over the air, over the speaker, that anybody who wanted could get it. So spread the news. Relevantradio.com. No shipping, no handling. My book on divine mercy. I think it'll be great for your spiritual library. Let's pray for President Biden. I've been praying for him more recently than I think I have ever prayed for an elected official. I pray for his health. I pray for his cognitive clarity. I pray for those around him. I pray for the future of our country. I shared with you earlier what was going on up in the Arctic. You know, we see Russia building its military presence. We see what China is doing in terms of positioning for, you know, global authority and power in the world. And then we see what happens in our own country here. The great moral threats and the challenges that we face, especially as Catholics, I've talked about the Equality Act, the Mexico City policy. I mean, so many of these policies that are out there that fail to respect God or his natural law. President Biden has done more than I think than any other president to expand access to abortion. And he professes to be a Catholic. And as a result of that, I think he needs, you know, we need to pray for him. We need to pray those Catholic roots will somehow, you know, take hold. That he'll see the errors of his ways. And, you know, with the last COVID-19 relief bill signed, he signed, I don't know if you're aware of this, he signed for taxpayer money actually to go to pay for abortions. Your taxpayer dollars going to pay for abortions. And look, that's something that has not happened since 1977, just, you know, what, 48 months, 4 years after Roe v. Wade. Not only has he rescinded the Mexico City policy, and if you're not familiar with that, is that prevents federal money from paying for abortions overseas. So he says, I'm taking that back. One of the first things I'm going to do with my executive pen. That was a policy that was started by Reagan. He also rescinded a policy that was set in place by Donald Trump that had forbidden groups like Planned Parenthood, a nefarious organization, if you ask me. You know, Trump says, you know what? What are we doing here? You know, he put in a policy that forbid Planned Parenthood to receive, you know, funding from referring for abortions. They call it family planning, by the way. It's a certain type of family planning funding. He and the Vice President Kamala Harris, they're insistent on pushing forward with very radical pro-abortion policy and agenda. And you know how they do it? And here's the frustrating part for me. They do it under the disguise, of course, of these sanitary names like women's reproductive health. Who's against women's reproductive health? Not me. Who's against, you know, or they use the new title, reproductive justice. What is reproductive justice? What does that mean anyway, right? Well, they use it as a mask for what they intended to be abortion, right? They want to advance this radical pro-abortion. Just look at the policies. I'm not making this up. I'm just citing fact here. And I know when it comes to politics, sometimes people get very upset. Whether you're Republican or you're Democrat, you might think, "Oh, you know, he's so Republican. He's talking about Joe Biden." I'm so Catholic. You know, if this was a Republican president who did the same thing, you'd probably be calling me a Democrat because I'd be saying the same exact thing. This is ridiculous. Actually, you know what it is? It's evil. It is evil. That policy position has put the president in a very precarious position as a Catholic. And the reason I say that is that he claims he's a faithful Catholic. Yet he keeps telling us, you know, and I love the optics of it. Right? He reaches in his pocket. The man carries a rosary. I love it. I carry a rosary, too. Is he flaunting the church's teaching? You know, is he using the rosary as a prop? I don't know the heart of Joe Biden. I don't presume to, and I don't want to act like I do. All I can do is tell by the actions what he's done in terms of advancing abortion, you know, and, you know, running in complete opposition to what the church teaches. A number of bishops have called him out on this, and they've actually called for him to be denied communion because obviously he's persisting in a manifest grave sin. And I want to applaud the bishops that are doing that. I say bravo to you. You know, if I was a Catholic and my faith was important to me, it would at least make me pause. It would make me think about what I'm doing, or at least what the church is saying. You know, and again, that would be in accord with the canon law of the church, canon 915. You should read it. It says that those who persist in manifest grave sin, they are not to be admitted to Holy Communion. They are not to be admitted to Holy Communion. I would argue that this would apply to Joe Biden. You know, I had Bishop Opracchio not too long ago. He's the bishop from Springfield, Illinois. And he gave, I asked him about this issue of communion, because you don't want to use it as a prop. You don't want to use it as a punishment. You know, this is Jesus Christ truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, right? But also, we have to be concerned about our brother's soul, right? So when he was on the show, I asked him about, hey, how do you navigate this? What do you do? And he gave some explanation on why the church, you know, allows priests to refuse communion. And he cited, you know, some of these precepts in canon law. Here's Bishop Opracchi.
Obstinate persistence in grave evil and serious sin, and And that would be because of a pattern, you might say, of their voting and promoting of this legislation over a period of time. So starting in 2017, when they promoted and passed House Bill 40, which provided for taxpayer funding of abortion, and also declared that if Roe versus Wade is ever overturned in Illinois, that Illinois would continue to be a state where abortion would remain legal. And then this most recent legislation declares abortion to be a fundamental right, and that an unborn baby doesn't have any independent rights of its own, and then also mandates private insurance has to pay for abortion. So it was not only the role of these two Senate leaders in voting for this legislation, but also promoting and facilitating its passage, which I would describe as sort of an aggravating factor, which then makes them subject to Canon 915, which says that they are not to be admitted to Holy Communion.
Now, can you imagine if that went down? Woo! I mean, there would be, the media would run wild with that, I would think. Or maybe they wouldn't care. But here's the thing. Do Catholics care? Do you care? I mean, do you care? Should Joe Biden be denied communion until he gets these issues right, or stop, you know, professing to be a Catholic? How do we help him? How do we get him back on the right side of the tracks? How do we get him to understand the errors of his way, because we love and are concerned about his immortal soul? There was a recent Pew Research survey that was out. And I think most Catholics probably don't care. Most Catholics are disconnected. They found that 2/3 of Catholics believe that he should be allowed to receive communion, even though we just went through all the things that he, all the grave, you know, evil that he's obstinately persisting in, all the policies that are going to take human life, that are going to attack, you know, religious liberty and freedoms, and so many other things. According to the National Catholic Register, 67% of U.S. Catholics say that Biden should be allowed to receive communion at Mass. 29% said that he should not be allowed to receive. And that sets up, I think, a very compelling issue, because it shows that way too many Catholics don't understand that you need to be worthy, you know, to be able to receive communion. You have to be in a state of grace, you know. Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, he called for an invigorated renewal of the teaching about the worthiness to receive communion. And I think that is fantastic. I think it's really important. You know, Jake just posted the Twitter poll. Should Joe Biden be able to receive communion? Sound off. Go to @DrewMarianiShow. We'll give you the results as it comes in. But I've invited to join us today to Ed Condon. He is the co-founder of a brand new Catholic website. And you may not be familiar with this. If you like Catholic news or you want some good insight and commentary on it, check out The Pillar, okay? You can bookmark this. The website is actually CatholicPillar.com, CatholicPillar.com. It's a great, great source of information. And Ed has been with me in the past. His journalistic, you know, work has appeared in everything from the Washington Post to National Review to the Washington Examiner, and the Examiner, I should say, and the Spectator. And it's great to have him with us. He's also a canon lawyer, so nobody better to talk to than him when it comes to this issue. Mr. Condon, always good to have you here. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. So President Biden, he's from Delaware. Of course, he lives in Washington right now on Pennsylvania Avenue. Two bishops, I'm assuming. I don't know which one he falls under the authority of, for the one in Delaware or the one in D.C. But what have either of those bishops said as to whether or not he can receive communion? Do you know?
Yeah, they've both been very clear about this, that they don't intend to deny President Biden, and they didn't deny previously Vice President Biden or Senator Biden at different times, communion over his stance on abortion. Most recently, Cardinal Wilton Gregory here in Washington, D.C., said that going in with the idea of possibly denying Biden communion over his abortion stance would be like going into talking to him and putting a loaded gun on the table, he said. He said he'd view this as a politicization of the Eucharist, that this would be a way of threatening the president, and it's not how to have a dialogue with, you know, what is really, you know, his most famous congregant at this point. You know, he's the president of the United States. His home address is the White House, and he's very much in the Archdiocese of Washington. So Cardinal Gregory has been very clear about that, as have a number of U.S. bishops and cardinals over the years about politicians in their backyard. You know, Cardinal Gregory said all of this shortly after the election. But it's worth noting Cardinal Dolan in New York said virtually the same thing back in 2019 about Governor Cuomo after the passage of the New York Abortion Act back then. So this is definitely a subject that has divided the bishops. It's divided Catholics, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
You know, I think you could say to the president, if I was any of those shepherds, hey, this is not meant to be a political tool. I'm not coming in with a loaded gun. I care about your soul, and what you are doing, is immoral and it's wrong, and I'm concerned about, about your spiritual future. I mean, it's pastoral more than anything else. Because apparently Mr. Biden, President Biden, must not know. He must not be aware of the gravity of what he's doing. Am I being too naive by saying that? You think he knows? How do you hold a rosary in one hand and in your other hand, with your executive pen, rescind the Mexico City policy or advance any of these other policies?
That is a very good question. I have to say, unlike almost any other Catholic politician I've come across who champions abortion rights, Joe Biden has been more than usually clear, not just about what he believes on abortion, but also what the church teaches on abortion, and not just what the church teaches on abortion, how seriously the church teaches it. There's video footage you can find from one of the vice presidential debates where, he lays out very clearly, almost in perfect terms, exactly what the church teaches about the nature of human life, when it begins, the conception, what the church teaches on abortion, and the whole of the teaching authority with which the church teaches it. And he goes on to say that he believes all of this, which is, remarkable. You can't get that kind of clarity out of politicians on church teaching on abortion, even when they agree with it half the time.
That is
so true. President Biden has been extremely clear on what the church teaches and claims that he believes it, or at least he believes that the church teaches it, and he as a Catholic should believe it. But at the same time, he's... the way he presents his own approach to abortion as a legislator and now as president is to say he doesn't want to impose these beliefs on other people, which is, extremely morally problematic. It's also a little logically inconsistent. If you really believe that life begins at conception, which President Biden has said he does, and you really do accept that every abortion is the voluntary termination of an innocent human life, then that's exactly the kind of belief that have government to impose on society, is to protect innocent life. This is one of the first duties of government. It's why we have it. So President Biden is really something of an enigma in that sense, in that he seems to be really well-versed in church teaching, seems to be very clear on what it teaches and why, and seems to be perfectly happy to ignore it at the same time. And it's very hard to figure out how he squares that circle internally.
I'm joined today by canon lawyer Ed Condon, and we'll take your calls, too. If you want to get in and sound off, I only have him for a few minutes this afternoon. The number here is 888-914-9149. Allison is listening in League City, Texas. Hi, Allison. You're on the air with Mr. Condon.
Thank you so much, first of all, for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm actually a new listener, so I want to thank you for everything you guys are doing over there. First of all, prayer. This man needs a lot of prayer. And let me tell you that with the Lenten season, my children, all individually, we all give up something, right? We give up something, and this year, for some reason, these little ones didn't come up to me, so I told them, you know what? We're going to stop listening to mainstream music, and if we turn on the radio or if we turn on our phones and we want to listen to some music, it's going to be worship music. And then I started listening to your station, and I downloaded the Relevant Radio app, and every morning we consecrate ourselves to the Blessed Mother of Schoenstatt. Wow. We consecrate my little one to the Blessed Mother of Schoenstatt because she yet does not know exactly how. And so when we started that during Lent, we started not only consecrating President Trump, but once the election and everything went on, then we started consecrating President Biden. So this
that's great
prayer. That's what it is.
Amen.
You have to. If you're going to say you're a Catholic, you can't just say it. Your actions.
Yeah.
Your actions have to say it loud and clear.
Well, Allison, let me just say to you, thank you, because I could not agree with you more. And this is not a partisan issue. You should be praying for President Trump, too, and he's in office, whoever it may be. And let's pick up on that point. I have a minute or two before I take a break. Then we'll take some more calls. But, you know, we often think as citizens, I'm an individual. What can I do? The president is, you know, he's the executive. He's the head of the executive branch of government. What can I do, right? I'm not in Congress. I'm not a senator. We can do exactly what she's doing. We can have more impact and effect through our prayers than anything else we could possibly do. But I'd love you to respond to her.
No, absolutely. I think prayer is a very important point. And it's worth noting that, you know, this is fundamentally the issue about communion and politicians and abortion and all these things. We can get caught up in sort of the idea of church rules and laws and everything. But really what's underpinning this is it is a matter of faith. And, you know, you'd spoken a little bit earlier about Bishop Papraki talking a little bit about Canon 915 and everything else. And, you know, it's important to remember that this is not a penal law of the church that we're talking about here. When the church teaches that people, particularly politicians who are, you know, regularly champion access to abortion and things like that, shouldn't be allowed to receive communion, and in fact says they are to be denied communion, it's not a question of punishing them or, you know, wagging the finger at them. It's that we as Catholics believe that the Eucharist is this, you know, source and summit of our Christian life, that it's the most important thing we have, and that taking it in a situation of manifest grave sin does you harm. Yeah. You know, that this is the action of the church in denying communion to politicians who are, you know, seeking to advance access to abortion and things. It's not, you know, it's not like delivering a spanking.
Yeah,
it's the opposite. It's a parent trying to grab the hand of a child and take it away before it burns itself on a stove.
Such a good point. You know, that's such a great point.
It's a matter of love.
Yeah, hold that thought. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. We put up a Twitter poll, and we asked, should President Biden be denied the Eucharist based on where he is? When we come back, we'll give you those poll results. You can stand off. You can sound off. I'll also share with you what the rest of the country, how other Catholics feel about it. We'll take your calls. Stay with me. The conversation continues right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
I'm not holding a small cup, Drew. I'm holding an extra large cup.
A bucket.
Every weekday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you are just getting plugged in, I saw a recent Pew Research survey. And of course, you know, I've shared many of these over the years with you. This one found that 2/3 of Catholics believe that Joe Biden should be allowed to receive communion. And there was a National Catholic Register poll that found that 67% of U.S. Catholics say that Biden should be allowed to receive communion at Mass. 29% said that they shouldn't. We put up our own poll. So far, 97% of the people have taken the one that Jake put up on our Twitter poll, and that's at Drew Mariani Show. We're down to 94% saying no communion. But still, there's a percentage of people saying, yeah, let him take it. And again, why shouldn't he take it, right? Some people might be saying, well, you have to take a look at his policy. Rescinding the Mexico City policy, championing the Equality Act, you know, funding Planned Parenthood. I mean, you go through a whole litany of things. What he did with the COVID-19 relief bill. I could give you a list probably as long as my leg. Should Joe Biden be receiving communion? Well, according to the teaching of the church, he probably shouldn't, just out of love and concern for his immortal soul. I'm joined today by a canon lawyer. Ed Condon is here, and you can find him online at this website, CatholicPillar.com. There's a new Catholic website out called The Pillar, and you will, I think, really enjoy it. And Ed, let's pick up on that point, then we'll grab a few more calls. I mean, overwhelmingly, and I'm surprised, what does this say about where the Catholic population in this country is? For 2/3 of Catholics to say, yeah, Joe Biden should be able to receive communion. Is it a lack of understanding as to what the true presence is? Or how do you read that? How do we come up with these numbers? I just find them startling, but maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I don't know that I find it terribly startling. It certainly is disappointing and a little bit distressing. I think, you know, we've seen similar polls offering majorities of Catholics coming out in favor of other things that the church has said are just simply impossible, like same-sex marriage and the ordination of women and similar things like that. So it's not unusual to get polls among Catholics in the United States basically saying, well, we're not sure we agree with church teaching on on one subject or another. And I think this points to a real crisis of teaching in the church in the United States, that, you know, the church has a job on its hands, educating Catholics in their own faith. And that's really part of what being Catholic is all about, is you never end your Catholic education. You have to keep going throughout your whole life. You certainly never stop learning. And I think for many Catholics who see President Biden on TV and seems very nice, presentable guy, he seems very friendly, you know, it's hard to think he'd set out to be mean to anyone. I think a lot of Catholics see that and they respond to it and they go, well, he seems like he means well, so why should we bar him on communion over a disagreement over what seems like a political issue in abortion?
Right.
And I think this is exactly the kind of confusion that Archbishop Gomez of Los Angeles, who's the U.S. Bishops Conference president right now, pointed to in November, shortly after the election, when he said, yeah, we have an incoming Catholic president for only the second time in our history. There's a lot of common ground here that we can work with him on. There's a lot to be encouraged by. But particularly on the issue of abortion, this is something that can cause grave confusion among Catholics, that this is a countersign, particularly since President Biden, you know, has a photo call almost every week on Sunday on his way in and out of Mass.
Right. Exactly.
His press secretary refers to him as a devout Catholic in the White House press room. So he makes much of his faith, and certainly did during both the Democratic primary and the U.S. presidential campaign. So he's modeling Catholicism for a lot of American Catholics, and it's not a very good model, I'm afraid.
Well, we got a caller from New Mexico, from Albuquerque. I believe it says Father Terry here on my board, who's got a comment for you. Good afternoon, Terry. You're a father. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Father Terry. I agree with canon law, but also I have a mixed opinion, because in reading the four Gospels of the Last Supper, Jesus gave Judas, I believe, the Eucharist. And so there's my, in reading all four of them, I kind of came up with he did give himself the Eucharist but he said it would be better that he was never been born. So if you like to comment on that, I'll hang up and go back to the radio.
Father, thank you. Go ahead, Ed. You're the canon lawyer here. I'll let you respond to that. That's a question that comes up a lot. I heard Father Simon be asked that the other day, but go right ahead.
Absolutely. Well, I think he summed it up very neatly, which is, Judas did receive communion at the Last Supper, and Christ did say it would be better for him if he'd never been born. And, you know, this goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, about the canonical provision that you shouldn't give communion to people in a situation of manifest and obstinate grave sin. It's not a disciplinary measure. It's not a question of punishment. It's not a question of withholding something from someone because they've been bad. But this is really out of concern for their soul, because we believe, and the church teaches, and the catechism teaches, that if you receive communion in a state of grave sin, you are doing yourself grave spiritual harm. So when the church talks about denial of communion to, for example, a politician who's promoting abortion and widening abortion access, it's not a question of trying to snap them into line. It's hopefully pricking their conscience a little bit, but more importantly, keeping them from making the situation worse for themselves, keeping them from doing themselves spiritual harm, which, you know, the church is a loving mother. This is hopefully what she'd want to do for all of us. You know, if we put ourselves in a position where receiving communion would not do us good, it would in fact do us harm, she'd tell us so.
Yeah, well, I only have a couple minutes left, so let me move along, because, we could spend 2 hours talking about this. Char's listening in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Hi, Char.
Hi, my comment is 67% believe he should be allowed to receive communion. But in a previous research study, about that exact same percentage believe it's not the body and blood of Christ.
Great point. Yeah, that's really true. It speaks to the lack of understanding what the Eucharist is all about. Do we have a catechetical problem in the country? Ed, how do you read this for so many so-called Catholics not to believe in really what is the source and summit of our faith, and that's our Lord truly present in the Eucharist?
I do think we have a catechetical problem in the United States, although I think we have a catechetical problem across the church, particularly in what we used to sort of loosely refer to as the quote-unquote Christian West. And I think it's a problem the church has been talking about for decades now. It's certainly what J.P. II had in mind when he spoke about the new evangelization. I think we, for many, many decades, particularly in this country, we got into a sort of format in our parish where people stopped learning about the faith, and just as importantly, stopped being educated about the faith around about the time they made their confirmation. Now, I learned some things in high school that I wanted to learn more about, and I learned some things in high school that I stopped learning about after high school. But really, the things that I stopped learning about in high school, I don't know all that much about, you know, and I certainly wouldn't be in a position to, you know, to stake my immortal soul on what I can remember from junior year. And I think this points to exactly what the church in this country terms of a catechetical problem, which is we need constant adult formation for adult faith in Catholics in this country, because we can never stop learning about our faith. We can never stop deepening our understanding of the faith. And if we do, then we really run into trouble very quickly.
Yeah, there are some bishops now proposing teaching about what they call Eucharistic integrity. And I hope we see that. I hope we see that in the not-too-distant future. I don't know how that gets rolled out. I know you're doing a great job at the Pillar. Relevant's trying to do its purpose, its function, and its mission to teach the faith as well. I have less than a minute, so I might not be able to take any more calls. But let me give you final thoughts here. And, of course, get everybody plugged into your website as well.
Absolutely. Our website is pillarcatholic.com. My business partner, J.D. Flynn, have been at it now since the beginning of January. And it's really, I hope we're doing a service to the church and all of it by doing the kind of longer form, deeper dive journalism that we really think there's a need for in the church. And that's the space for it.
All right. Well, thank you, Ed, for your time. Always good to talk with you. Appreciate your eloquence. And that's Ed Condon. As I said, he's co-founder of the new Catholic website, The Pillar. You can check him out at CatholicPillar.com. That's CatholicPillar.com. When we come back, we will talk more. We're not done yet. We've got a lot more to get into. In fact, I saw an op-ed, and this was it grabbed my attention. It was an op-ed. I think it was a Wall Street Journal. I forget where I saw this. It says, America's record godlessness is good news for the nation. What's the future of the country without God?